This is the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast with J. Gordon Duncan. If you're wondering why the J, the answer is I am not a bagpipe player. And if that joke doesn't make any sense, I encourage you to check out episode 0, where I explain that joke as well as the purpose of the This Is Gonna Hurt podcast, where we talk about faith, family, fitness, finances, and sometimes fun. Well, friends, it's great to see you. This is our Monday morning episode, and just I've been trying to think through what we haven't talked about lately, and we really haven't had an episode focused on finances or business necessarily. Now, we've talked about that a lot as it's related to COVID-19, and I really don't want to talk about COVID-19 in any way. I feel like we've covered it a lot. I know we'll talk about it more. It's the issue of our day. It's not going away anywhere. But just exhausted on the topic in particular. My mind's been going somewhere else, and I wanted to share it with you. But I do want to say this. Thank you so much for everyone who is listening. A lot of time in the podcast world, you really have no idea who listens or who doesn't, unless they leave a review or unless they respond. And I had a fantastic conversation this past week with a childhood friend named Ruth. Ruth, thanks for listening. And I know that she and Caroline and their spouses have listened. And it just means a ton. I mean, it really does for someone to say, hey, this particular episode meant a lot. So again, thank you so much, childhood friends. We lived on 2nd Street back in Smithfield, played together, and then grew up. And then, like for everybody, in college and marriage and various things, you go your separate ways. And then in the last year, I've had a chance to reconnect with each one of them. So thank you so much for listening. I think one of these days, there is another episode for us talking about Smithfield, North Carolina, Johnson County. A lot of interaction when I did that episode surrounding just sort of the racial tension and sort of the racial atmosphere of the early 70s and 80s where I grew up. There's probably another podcast in there. When I reach out to other folks, like Ruth Caroline, other folks who were there, but we'll see. That's going to take planning. That's not going to be spontaneous. We'll put that together. But in talking to my friends, we've been talking about starting. A lot of folks have talked to me lately about starting a podcast. I know that Riley, great to talk to you, Riley, and Ruth, and other folks have talked to me about, hey, how does Anchor work, or how do you get yourself on different platforms and what it's like. And truly, podcasting is hard work. In the last 3 weeks, as the summer has rolled on, I've minimized some of my episodes. I've not been doing Wednesday Wisdom, and Free Friday has been every other week, really. And I think that's based really just sort of upon the summer. I'm in my third season now, and I want to make sure what I give to you is fresh and not of obligation. And I think those things are going to take a transformation coming up, even more so, probably when we return in the fall. But I'm committed to these Monday episodes no matter what. But been talking to my friends. I'm like, hey, this is what podcasting looks like. Consistency is key. And then how do you promote the podcast? How do you save your material? What does interviewing look like? So I've enjoyed talking about that and shared my mistakes and things that I've seen go well. But that, again, is starting. And I am, the gifting God's given me is starting. Starting two churches, starting businesses, going all the way back to when I was a high school English teacher right out of college. I helped start a high school. I mean, meaning that my first day of school was the first day that school existed, and we had to go through the accreditation process. And I really enjoyed it, and I think part of that comes from the grit of having to pay your way through college, the grit of being a youngest, the grit of overcoming some physical difficulties, that kind of thing. So by nature, I'm a starter. I like reading that kind of material. I'm thankful for the people in my life, both church and business, who have that gift set of the second stage so that my starting energy can move towards like vision casting, and then I have people in my life who are differently skilled than I am, and they help put structure to things, and they help guide me. Those things, I'm thankful for that. But it's got me thinking about the nature of starting itself. Sorry, I had a little bit of a dry mouth there and had to take a sip. The nature of starting is the nature of a dreamer. I think we all have those aspirations that we think of an idea, or we think of like, oh, wouldn't it be great if this existed? And so we're all by nature, we have a dreaming quality. But the entrepreneur, the church planter, the young business owner, the small business owner, that dreaming takes another step where you have to do something about it, or you're willing to take a risk to do something about it. And that dreaming quality, the moment it turns into entrepreneurship or church planting or small business ownership, the moment that dreaming quality turns into those things is when the starter is willing to take on risk. Because starting is always risky. It's risky because your idea or project might fail. It's risky because in many cases you have to, quite honestly, you have to risk finances. There's a chance that your project could lose money, or you're going to ask people for money and they may not get a return. It's risky because you're putting yourself emotionally and reputation-wise out there. And no one, I would think, most people never want to be seen as a failure. Now, starting a business and it fails, starting a church and it fails, it doesn't mean you yourself are a failure. That is incorrect. The project you started maybe came to an end. Maybe it was not a great idea or fully formed, but being a risk taker doesn't make you a failure. It makes you a risk taker. And risk taking, by definition, means it's not always going to work. I mean, it's like Evel Knievel, if anyone here remembers who he was not a failure, but that guy wrecked all the time. People, you know, you can go from Elon Musk all the way down, all the entrepreneurs of our day have put together projects that didn't succeed financially, or they didn't take off, but that doesn't mean that they're a failure, but they took risk. And the moment that the idea or the dream that you have, the moment that it flows over into action, like I'm going to make something here, that moment is when the entrepreneur or church planter is willing to take on risk. Now, it's not always the case that the more risk you're willing to take, the greater success, but I will tell you that no success comes without great risk. It's just the reality. Success doesn't come without great risk, because success, however it's defined, more people, more money, more acceptance of the product or idea, it always requires more. You have to rent a bigger building. You have to be willing to care for more people. You have to put more money into the production of the product. All those things, like, great success does not come without the willingness to take on great risk. And that is often the difference between an entrepreneur who stays, I don't want to say stay small, that's an incorrect way of saying it. The entrepreneur who takes on risk, but then saying that's as much risk as I'm willing to take, then that's probably as far as that success is going to go. But you've got to take on great risks to take on great success. It's just the nature of the dreamer, starter, entrepreneur. You read those stories about entrepreneurs, church planters, small business people, and I'm sorry I keep saying this three over and over again, I just don't really want to exclude anyone from the conversation, but there comes a point where you just say, this is scary, are we really going to do this? And then you do it. I'll give you an example of success and failure on my part. When we started our first church in 2005 in North Carolina, when you start a church, you have to raise funds because there's no tithers or givers, and you need and you got to eat. And so our presbytery, that's our church sending group, wanted us to have a certain amount of our funds raised, like a certain percentage, either committed or in the bank before we got started. And I didn't have a great financial base for fundraising and wasn't particularly skilled at it. It's a particular skill. So we weren't going to hit that number, that percentage, to launch. And I was so eager to launch. And Amy and I were committed to starting that church. So what we told the presbytery is, okay, well then I'm going to be bivocational, which means I'll have two jobs. And I said, I will lower the amount of money I need to raise, and I'll supplement those other funds with what I make myself. I'll launch as a bivocational church plant. So basically, like if you're saying the first year budget of a church plant is $100,000, and I couldn't raise that, I said, okay, well then I'll raise 50, and then I'll earn the other 50 myself so that we can do this work. Well, it was a huge risk because then I had to have two jobs. I had to divide my time, and I had a family to feed, right? I had two children in a house, and very soon afterwards, Amy was pregnant with a third child. That risk, the greater the risk, led to it was tremendous. I mean, our first church plant, we launched. It had a massive impact in the community. It was never big. It was never showy. But that was the risk that was necessary for us to get on the board. And that dream turned into a risk, and it took in a willingness to take on more risk. And so I'm very, very thankful for that. Now, I'll tell you one that didn't work out. I knew that I wanted to start something new on social media that might lead into like a lifestyle entrepreneur kind of thing, and I didn't fully form it. And this one, if you want to use the word failed, just failed horribly. Like, it just didn't come together. So some of you might remember, I started something about 4 years ago called the LY Life. LY. And so there's a verse in the Bible that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. There's three LYs there. Love your God, love your neighbor, love yourself. And I still own that, and that's something I might do with it. But I didn't really put together the intention of that and what I wanted it to be. And so I got what I thought was kind of a cool logo, and I started doing some social media work, and it really just died and faded away. It didn't connect with anybody because I really didn't put together what it was going to be. I didn't have a clear vision for it. And so I was having a hard time creating content for it or creating engagement for it. And so I risked that, and I put it out there, but I had to put it to bed because I just realized, like, no one really knows what this is, including myself. But, you know, I look at that, I don't mind whatsoever, because I'm just a starter. I've got, right now, 7-8 ideas like that I could create, and sometimes that's maddening, sometimes that's great. But risk is what's necessary to start. Now, I would recommend for everybody, you don't always have to everything have fully formed, but you probably have to have things put together more so than LY Life, and I'll be glad to explain more to that to anybody who wants to know. But dreamers, entrepreneurs, church planners, small business people, that dream begins to take reality whenever you're willing to take on risk. And the greater the risk, the greater potential reward, but it's not a guarantee. You can take in all the risk in the world and it might utterly just shut down. But risk is necessary for your idea to come into reality. And that I'm saying that from someone who has risked and quote unquote seen some success, and also from someone who has risked and nothing came of it. So friends, today, my encouragement to you, my call to action to you is, do you have a dream? Do you have something you want to start? Doesn't have to be a business, doesn't have to be a church. It can just be, it can even be just something in self-improvement. It might be something as simple as, hey, I'm really going to try to pray 30 days in a row, and the risk is I'm going to tell someone about it and ask for accountability. Or it might be, hey, I want to exercise, I want to lose weight. Or it really might be, I want to start a business. Those things begin to take action. They begin to have movement the moment you're willing to take on risk. And that risk is as small as letting someone else know about it, or it's as large as investing finances in it. So friends, I hope this is encouragement to you. My call to action to you is, do you have something that you're dreaming about? And then are you willing to risk? The following question is, how much are you willing to risk? What's the dream? Are you willing to risk? And how much are you willing to risk? So let's do that one more time. Here's the call to action is, do you have a dream? Something you want to start or do? Okay, great. Well then, are you willing to risk something for it? Okay? Third, how much are you willing to risk? Finally, friends, do you have a dream? Are you willing to risk something for it? How much are you willing to risk? I hope that's encouragement to you. I hope it's a great week. And friends, thanks for listening. Everybody, really. And I look forward to catching up with you soon. And we'll talk later. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.